candid shot. We speaking on things you not. Just press play and let it rock. Welcome to the candid shot. Whoa. Welcome to the candid shot. We speaking on things you not. Just press play and let it rock. Welcome to the candid shot. Whoa. Feel like we going through mad things. Gotta keep it real when they choose not. We gon' talk about it when the news drop. Welcome to the show where you know we don't fake this. Keep your opinion to yourself if it don't make sense.
Hola, podcast family. It is your girl, Candidly Kristen, and this is The Candid Shop, your number one destination for candid conversations. So I am super duper excited today to be having a candid chat about compassionate communication with psychotherapist and coach, Dr. Heather Brown, who is affectionately called the Reframe Queen. Welcome, 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 Dr. Heather, to The Candid Shop.
Oh, I am absolutely delighted to be here. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. So listen, Dr. Heather, communication is talked about so much as one of the most important pieces of any relationship, personal, family, professional. It's almost become a catchphrase or a platitude. People say it so much. Communication is the most important thing. So why then are we so damn bad at communicating?
You want to hear it? Because I've got the answer.
I need to hear it.
Because communication isn't the most important thing.
Oh.
Connection is the most important thing. So I always say, start with connection and then step into the communication, because that changes everything.
Got it. We're going to expand on that in a little bit. But first, I just want you to share how you came to your personal epiphany about communication. What was your journey to where you are now when it comes to communication?
In a nutshell, I grew up with a mom who was a paranoid schizophrenic. Mm. And so her reality was not mine. Okay. And we had many times where she was in a place where she was fearful, she was anxious, she was scared. And there was nothing in my reality that warranted that. Okay. But telling her that did no good. And so there was a moment where she thought the helicopters flying over the house were coming to get her. I was 12. And I thought, what can I do? What can I do? And telling my dad, telling her, you know, Jenny, you're crazy. They're not going to get you. Wasn't helping.
Right.
So I thought, what does she need? And she just needed to feel safe. So I threw a blanket over her head.
Okay.
And I said, Mom, they're not going to get you.
Okay.
And when she crawled out, she looked at me and her face said, you believed me.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she believed her.
Yes. Yes.
And that was the key. So I realized, okay, so it's really not even so much the thought. It's not even so much the belief. It's not even necessarily completely the feeling. It's really, do I try? Do I connect? Do I offer compassion? Regardless of what you think or what you feel. And when we do that, we don't stand against someone.
Right.
We might not necessarily stand completely with them.
Right.
But we're not against them. And our world doesn't do that. We're against everybody. If you don't do it my way, you're wrong.
Right.
And we're not getting very far with that idea.
No, we're not. So when you say no one has the same reality, it is that notion of maybe not so much stepping into their reality, but at least acknowledging that it is their reality.
Right. And truly, no one has the same reality, because no one has lived my life. No one knows how I think. No one knows how I feel. And our insatiable desire to understand others, it'd be really helpful if we put a little caveat on that of, I'm never going to really, but I really want to try to understand what it means for you.
Right.
Because even if I try to understand your experience, it's my perception of how you have experienced it. And so we can't ever quite get there.
So we're not communicating, at least not effectively.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree. So I was poking around your website, which I love, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You have the nicest smile. And I came across this statement: there is no stuck. We just see it that way. changing our perspective changes our experiences. Break down how that statement, what you said there, intersects with effective communication.
Well, you only are what you say you are. So if I say I'm stuck, that means I'm not going to come up with a solution. I'm not going to come up with an answer. I just don't find that helpful to me. Now, I might say I don't have the answer yet.
Okay.
I need to do more exploration. Okay. I'm not quite sure which way to go. But if I announce I'm stuck, that means I'm done. And who's going to unstuck me if it's not me?
Right, right.
So we disempower ourselves in a place where we really need to say, I'm not able to figure this out. So what should I read? Who should I talk to? Do I pray? Like, what do I do to move into a different place? We think that somebody else is going to have the answer for us. And so we're continually looking for validation, social media in particular, looking for validation from others to believe we're okay. But there's the place of really going within and saying, well, what do I think? What do I feel? What's aligned with my purpose?
Right. Okay. So in that way, you, and I'm doing air quotes, reframe.
Yes.
Okay.
And I reframe so much of the time. My viewpoint is every thought that I have can either help me or hurt me.
Okay.
And so my viewpoint is, well, then I want to use my thoughts to help me.
Right.
And I listen to my feelings to see how am I feeling. Oh, this doesn't feel good. Okay, then what's a little bit of a better thought? I did a TikTok that people really liked. And what I said is a yes is also a no.
Okay.
And people are like, wait, what? If I'm saying yes to you, yes, I'll be on your podcast. I'd love to this morning. Yes. That also means no, I'm not going to get to the yard work during this hour.
Right.
So it's always both. And if you realize any decision you make is truly a decision, either one way or the other, everything is either towards something or away something.
Okay.
And so when you give yourself that freedom, you then go back to the place that you get to choose. Do I want to stay here? Does this thought serve me? Is this thought blessing me? Someone shoots in front of me on the freeway, and I think, you know, you friggin' idiot. Right. I'm gonna ask myself, is this a thought that serves me? Do I want to keep having this thought? No. Right. So then what's another thought? Thank God I had enough room. So glad I'm not in a rush. We don't realize the power of our thoughts. And when you start to get really good at cleaning through them, you'll let go of things really fast. I'll start to say something like, you know, that was rude. And I'll stop myself and I'll say, like, that's not necessary to say.
Right.
And then I just won't say it.
Right.
not that I am stunting myself from sharing my feelings, but if it's not going to benefit somebody, what's the point of me just sharing
it out there? Right.
You know, it's just ugly or hurtful. There's plenty of that out there. I don't need to add to that.
Exactly. Thank you for that. So let's circle back to connection, because that was not the answer number one that I was expecting from you. And so I want to expand that for myself and my listeners, because as much as I talk, I do a podcast, I'm talking. I don't know that I effectively communicate, you know, in my day-to-day conversations or communications with people. So I'd like for you to just expand the most that the connection is the most important piece.
Well, because if someone feels connected with you, then you feel like you're working in the same direction. You feel a little safer. And so you're going to have a different conversation if you start off that way. If I say, hey, I need to talk to you about something, and you don't feel connected with me, you're going to be a little guarded. You're going to be a little uncertain. You might be a little fearful. You might be worried I'm going to judge you.
Okay.
But if I say, you know, you're really important to me, and there's something that I want to talk about because I don't want it to be a challenge for us. Can we figure this out? You're probably going to say, yeah.
Right.
Now we're connected. What I tell my clients is the relationship is always more important than any issue.
Oh, yes.
And so when you remember that, then you can go into a conversation starting with that truth.
Okay.
You're really important to me. We're going to figure this out. Might take us a while.
Right.
And the best way to find out how connected you are is simply to ask, like, how are you feeling in this conversation right now? Do you feel right. like I'm listening to you? Am I honoring you? Are you right. feeling heard?
Okay.
And then let there be a little bit of space for silence.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a place in relationship where if I can just be with you
mm-hmm.
and you can feel safe just in my presence,
right?
We're already far, far down the road.
Right.
And so how you step into a conversation is really important. And people don't realize that. They just open up the door and say, I hate it when you do this. And the person's taken off guard. I had a realization in a session where a guy had been thinking about something for about a week. Sprung it on his wife. She'd never thought about it. And she was floored, didn't know what to say, wasn't very helpful. And he was frustrated because it was a really big conversation. I said to him, you've processed it for a week.
Right.
You came to her with a week of processing, threw it in her face and expected her to respond in like. And he went, oh my gosh, you're totally right. He mm-hmm. goes, how could I have done this differently? And I said, go to her and say, I've thought about something for a week. It's a big issue and I want to resolve it with you, but I want you to have some time to really think about what you want us to do as well. What mm-hmm. should we do about Johnny in college?
Okay.
So prepare the person you're speaking with to try to have a good outcome. It's important that you know where you're trying to go.
Right.
You don't get in the car and just drive and think you're going to end up where you want to go. You know the destination, you know the directions.
Yep.
We don't do the same thing with conversations. What I love to tell people is it's kind of like if you went to a buffet, you're going to say, a little bit of sweet potato.
Mm-hmm.
I want a little bit of that chicken. Ooh, that potato looks yummy. You just don't put your plate out and just swipe across the buffet table and land on your plate. But that's how I think we converse with each other. Wow.
Right.
People kind of feel repulsed by a lot of our conversations.
Right.
We don't make them appetizing for the other. And what a shame. Because I think conversation can be a love letter.
Absolutely.
If you embrace it that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that so much. So talk to me about what you do in your practice with the people that come through your door that are, number one, who are they that come to you for help? And give me a couple of tips and tools that you use in your practice without, you know, giving away trade secrets.
Yeah, I've been doing it for 27 years, so I have like 5 million trade secrets. So I have no shortage there. I think I have 3 main populations that come through, but I've done this for 27 years, so it changes a lot. But the people I work with the most are couples who are struggling with their connection, with their communication, with honoring the other, with arguing, and with intimacy.
Okay.
So that is one population. So if we start with them, what I talk about is what is communication? What are the big questions before you have a conversation? And the ones that I always say, you know, is what is the outcome that you're wanting to have?
Yeah.
Is this a good time for the other person?
Mm-hmm.
Are you open to hearing what they're going to say?
Okay.
Which ends a lot of communications before they start.
Okay.
And is this going to benefit your relationship or the other?
Okay.
If it doesn't fit those 4, it's not time for the conversation. I'm not saying it's not a conversation you're going to have later,
right?
But you need to find a way to bring it up where it can be a benefit instead of an attack, instead of a judgment, instead of a lecture. So that's one big one. Second one is I tell couples if they're wanting to grow closer every single day, say, what could I say or what could I do to show you right now that I'm really loving you?
Okay.
Every day, every single day. And then third, what I love to do, it ties in with love languages, is have each person write down 10 things that they would like the other person to do, not all in one area, all physical, not all gift, not all words of affirmation, and then say, do one a day. And as you do it, I want you to share with your partner, I'm doing this because I want you to feel loved, and then to receive it in that way. Second group I work with a lot is grief and loss.
Okay.
And it's because my mom killed herself. It's because I had a miscarriage. It's because I'm a widow. And because, you know, Everyone dies. Everyone. And so we all deal with grief and loss. And so that's an area of specialty. The things I would tell them are, you've got to grieve in your own way, and no one knows how to grieve in the way that you need to grieve but you.
Right.
And honor that.
Yeah.
Second, go ahead and just say yes when people want to do stuff for you.
Yeah.
Just say yes.
Yes.
Like, you're not going to do it yourself. You're not going to mow the lawn. You're not going to wash the laundry. You're just not going to do it.
Right.
So just say yes, because people are trying to help. And then third, and this is a really important one, really know that anybody who's offering any information, any suggestion, they really are trying to help.
Yeah.
They just don't know. And for some reason, when it comes around death and loss, people have very bizarre ways of expressing it to others. And it can feel incredibly disrespectful.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't worry. It's, you know, it's okay. You have other children. Right. You just lost your child. You know,
right.
And they're not meaning it that way. So just as much as you can, hold on to the fact they're trying to love you, but they 100% don't know how.
Right.
And then release it as much as you can of that. And then the third caveat I have is really much more so coaching.
Okay.
And that's people who are on a spiritual path to connecting to themselves, to connecting to God, connecting to their source. And I rev really high there. And I'm really full of joy and light. And so people tend to be attracted to my energy. Mm-hmm. And so they want to work with me to figure out how do I get myself in that flow?
Yeah.
And so that's a place where I coach people quite a bit. And I love that. And so I have a little coaching program that I go through with that. And a lot of it is just really looking at, what are your daily practices? How are you showing up for yourself? What is your mind frame? And are you allowing yourself space and time to really connect to your center? Most of us, our lives are so busy.
Yeah.
You don't leave that place for meditation or prayer or journaling or walking. And we need all of those.
We need to do that. So, Dr. Heather, how important is one's own self-talk, your self-communication and connection? How important is that to how you show up in your communications with others?
Absolutely vital. Because that then is going to affect everything. Because it's what's going on in my head. So if I think, you're not going to like me on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of my conversations are going to be coming out of fear and discouragement and trying to impress you.
Right.
That's going to completely change who I am.
Right.
And then when you say something, I'm probably not going to know how to take it. There was a study that was done. It was fascinating. And it was on communication. And now that everything is pretty much virtual, when employers say through a text or an email to their employee, great job, 60% of them think it's sarcastic.
Really?
Yes. We're not even believing when someone's giving us a compliment that it's really a compliment. And I went, oh, dear God, I would say, yay.
Right. But save it and everything.
But that's because my self-talk is pretty clean. I trust people for the most part on what they say, and I want to take in compliments. One thing I find is baffling, and I know I've walked through this too, so I have to kind of say, well, you did too, Heather, so you're just at a different place right now, but how hard it is for us to be good to ourselves and how we struggle with loving ourselves. I think, isn't that bizarre? Why is it so hard to be nice to yourself, but it's so easy to be mean to yourself? It makes really no sense. Other than we've decided to believe that. And so when I decided, no, it's like a light bulb. I can be nice or I can be mean.
Right.
Which do you want? Which feels better for you? Well, it feels better to be nice to me. It's a choice. And it's a choice we continually make. And the more you keep doing it, the better your self-talk becomes. But it affects everything, because that's how I'm viewing the world.
Right.
That's how I'm viewing my experience of the world.
Yeah.
It's the most important. Your self-talk, your self-belief, your centeredness or your lack of centeredness is the most important, because from that comes everything that you think, feel, do, and create.
True.
And we think if I can change you, then our relationship is great. And that's what we focus on. Don't do this. I hate it when you do this. Stop doing this. I wish you would do this. Okay. But it still doesn't get down to the core, which is, I have to accept you or not. Like, it's up to me to decide that.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, the hard stuff. When you know that there's a hard conversation to be had. How do you, and not necessarily in a relationship, maybe at a job or with someone in your family, the hard communications, how do we do them in a way that honors the topic, the other person, and ourselves, and doesn't come across as ugly, and it doesn't devolve into just, you know, an attack? Like, how to, some things are easier to talk about than others, period.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
The hard stuff.
Well, and part of it goes back to what I said for a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Make certain that you have agreement of what is the outcome you're wanting to have.
Okay.
Make certain that you are open to the other person and what their experience is. Make certain that there's a way to try to benefit what needs to go on, and then make certain it is the right time and the other person's prepared. And then sometimes you just do have to have those hard conversations, and it would be important, once again, to start with connection.
Okay.
You are a really valuable employee to us,
mm-hmm.
and we have been so pleased with this and 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 this that you do. I do need to share. We continually keep having this problem in this one area.
Okay.
And we're at the place where we've got to get this resolved, or we're not going to be able to continue. And we don't want to let you go.
Right.
But we've come up with a lot of suggestions and you haven't followed through on those. So we're wondering, is this something you're not wanting to change? And in that case, then we probably need to finalize our employment here, because
right.
this is not the position that you want. Or is there a way we can do this differently so we can see, can we continue beyond this stage? We would really like to, if that's something that you're committed to as well.
Okay.
That would be hard for the person to feel attacked
right.
or accused. It respects the person for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It does call them on the challenge that there is.
Yeah.
But it also leaves some conversation about where you're going to go.
Right.
If you start with, you're important to me,
mm-hmm.
this conversation's important to me.
Yeah.
We want to have a great outcome here.
Yeah.
Or even if it's a termination, we really yeah. do want to have, if you would like, future conversations or to give, you know, recommendations for you.
Right.
Because there's been so much of what you have done that has been beneficial.
Right.
There is always that room for graciousness and
right.
and kindness for the
yes.
other person.
Yes.
But then how they take it, like, that's up to them. And no
yeah.
matter how much we try to be kind, sweet, gentle, it's up to the other person to decide. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's you. I had someone recently just go ballistic off of me saying, I hope you're doing well. And, you know, maybe it would be good for you to go to the beach, which happened to be a place that they found their centeredness. And they thought I was being shallow and uncaring and unloving and like went ballistic. Now it's not somebody who's actively in my life, and gratefully so.
Right.
But I was floored. I thought, wow, like, I thought I was being helpful, but
right.
that person didn't want to see it that way.
Right.
So that was their reality of the conversation. It certainly wasn't my intention.
Right. And there's nothing that the person that's communicating with that person can do about it. Like, we can't try to be responsible for everybody's reaction.
Well, no, not at all. And I just said, gosh, I'm really sorry you chose to view it that way. That's never been my intention. And that person was, of course, still in that energetic. And
mm-hmm.
so they just started attacking and you know, saying like, I don't need this in my life. And I just said, that's fine.
Right.
Let's not go further. It wasn't someone I had talked to in about 4 years. So,
okay.
you know, wasn't a significant person, but it was bizarre.
Right.
And that does happen sometimes. And I think COVID, one of the repercussions is that people became so hostile in a lot of their conversations that I know a lot of people ended friendships
yeah.
in COVID because of beliefs or misunderstandings or attacks and accusations. And
yeah.
I think it's opened up for us to look at how we are and who we are, and a little bit how the world sees us too, which is important to have a little bit of an awareness of.
Yeah. When I started this podcast, it was the top of 2021, and my episode was called 2020, What the Fuck? And we talked about COVID, and it helped some relationships. You know, people were together a lot more. You didn't have anywhere to go. You were there. You didn't have 8 hours out of the house anymore. So now people had to really take really hard looks at their relationships and how they communicated in them. And it either reaffirmed it or destroyed it. So a lot of relationships ended when people really had to be and sit in a space with somebody that typically was gone 10 hours a day. So they didn't have to.
It was hard for a lot of people. And one thing that's beautiful in relationship is entrances and exits.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope you have a great day. I'm going to miss you. I can't wait till you come home. And we didn't have that in COVID. It was, you know, 24/7, you know, like you're bugging me the way you back to back. And you can only see it at night. Now I'm seeing 24/7.
I'm like, God, I didn't realize you breathe like that. Jesus. Yeah, it was great for some. It was not so much for others. But if you could just share with me and my listeners how us humans as the collective can begin this path forward to connection and communicating more compassionately, more effectively, how can we do that? Baby steps.
Well, the first one's like the baby step. It's a really important one. So COVID showed us that something can touch every single person on the entire planet.
Mm-hmm.
That hit me profoundly. And I thought, okay, so if a virus can do that, whatever you want to think of the virus,
right?
Why can't love?
Mm.
Why can't something else? So my viewpoint is every day, in as much as I possibly can remember to or choose to, I try to send out love in my relationships, in my conversations, in the way I'm looking at the world. My focus is, how can I share love? How can I share light? How can I leave something a little bit more beautiful to this world, if it's so wanted? But the place that for me that gives me the freedom is I have let go as much as I know how of the outcome. I'm here to share. And if you want it, great. If you don't, okay. If you think I'm airy-fairy, that's okay too. I'm just not for you, and that's okay. So it allows me to stay true to who I am and be mindful of those who like it and also respect those who don't. But if my viewpoint is I can share love, I can bring love, that changes my whole reason in being here. And people ask me a lot, how do you love yourself? And as soon as I say that, my head goes to, but I need to lose 7 pounds. My thighs are a little smushy and, you know, I need to get a haircut and I didn't make my bed this morning. And I go to all the places that I don't love myself. If you let yourself really take in what love is and then say, I'm just going to let myself stay in that experience of feeling love, sharing love, being of love, offering love, channeling love, exploring love, then you and everybody else are just a part of that. And that's really helpful.
If you could give me your last thoughts for the listeners on communicating more authentically, compassionately, and with more connection, what would your last thoughts that you'd like to leave them with be?
You got it. To me, it really comes down to, how do you want to present yourself in the world? How do you want to experience yourself? So to me, your purpose, your intention, your desire for others, it really is largely felt. Most conversations that we have where we really are caring for the other and caring with the other,
yes,
they can experience that. And I know for me, if I'm going to have a difficult conversation, one of the things I'll say right before is, I just really want you to know I love you.
Right.
And then the person looks at you and they're like, oh, I'm like, yeah, we'll figure this out, but I love you.
Right.
And then the conversation isn't that hard. So to yourself, as much as you can, allow yourself to receive who you are and how you are right now. That doesn't mean there aren't things to change. Of course there are, but you can't be any other than you are right now. So when you give yourself that power to say, like, this is the best I am right now. Okay. What can I do to keep working on this? But I'm going to try to really take care of me today. I'm going to try to take care of my conversations today. I'm going to try to take care of my relationships today. Then today becomes a much better day.
Yes.
And it gets it out of that good, bad, right, wrong mentality. There really is no right and wrong other than how we perceive it to be. So if we let ourselves be open to how can I grow? How can I change? What can I learn? What can this experience be? How can I learn from you? Then conversations change quite a bit. People in our lives are the best teachers that we could possibly have.
Right.
They point out where we're great and they point out where they don't think we're great. And that's information for us to take in and work on and hopefully learn to show up and be even better than we've been because of their suggestions.
I love it. And conversations should be a win-win, even if it's a hard one. Like, it shouldn't be I'm just talking at you and to get you to be, you know, in my reality, but more for understanding, for more connection.
Right. Because otherwise it's not a conversation.
Right.
Otherwise it's a debate.
Right.
Or it's an argument or it's a lecture.
Yeah.
Or it's a fight. It's right. not a conversation. So if you're really going to be conversing, that means I share, you share. I think, you think.
Right.
You know, there's both people are important. Yes. Both beliefs are important. Both people's feelings are important. And
right.
We don't do that very often. And that's unfortunate because we could be so much better together. If we were to honor the other person and also respect the fact that just because we're ready to talk about something, somebody else might not be.
Yes.
And to know, okay, if you need some time, I want this to go well. So let's take a break.
Yes.
Let's take a break. Come back when you feel ready. I want you to know that I'm going to be as safe as I possibly can for you.
Right.
And you be safe for you. If you're not feeling ready, let's wait. So much you can do with pacing.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that has to be resolved by the end of the conversation. And a lot of times it's not.
It's worse because now I've pushed you, I've forced you, I've made you decide. I used to say to my kids, if you give me a half an hour, I will know what I think. If you want me to decide right now, it's going to be no.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure yet.
Right.
And my kids are super smart. And they're like, give her a half hour. 95%. And my daughter got so cute with me. She's like, Mom, take as long as you want because I know you're going to come to a yes.
Right.
But she was really right. I just needed the time, especially because I'm
process.
A widow. I needed the time to process, like, how as a parent am I feeling about this?
Right.
I didn't have anyone to bounce it off of. And so I needed that time. And so I gave myself that time. I don't feel rushed to answer if I'm not ready. And I just say, I don't know yet. And I'll know soon. So I'm going to take that time to honor that.
Yeah.
And if someone says it to me, I might not like the fact that they're not ready.
Right.
But I realize there's something that they don't yet know. There's something that they haven't yet realized that is important to them, or they would have a yes, or they would have a no.
Right.
And so whatever that is, that's going to be important later on too. So I might as well have that part of the conversation when they're ready.
That's right. And you lessen the chance for regret when you take that time. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, well, thank you, Dr. Heather.
You're so
this
welcome.
Has been an amazing conversation, but it's not done yet. Now that is the formal part of the conversation. Now we get to the fun stuff.
Okay.
So it is time for 10 candid questions. Now, this is just a fun thing to wrap up our chat, and I am going to ask you 10 super duper random questions, and the only rule is you have to answer them candidly.
Okay.
You ready?
I am.
All right. Dogs or cats?
Oh, that's hard. I have both, but I think I've become more dog.
Me too. What quote would you want put on your headstone?
My favorite quote is, "We are each of us angels, needing to embrace one another, to have our," I'm not saying it correctly, but needing to embrace each other to have our flight.
Right.
And so that would be that. But my favorite passage is, "Be still and know that I am God."
Okay.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites too.
Yeah. I love the breakdown of that. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be
Be
still.
still.
Be.
Be. Oh,
I love that.
yes. Love that so much. That's
Yeah.
going to be in the show notes. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Okay. If you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be?
That I brought joy to the world.
That was easy.
Yeah.
What's your favorite curse word?
I'm not much of a cusser, but every once in a while, like, a fuck is really a good word.
And I love how you said it. That was like,
Yeah.
that was a good everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the one thing you think is missing most in the world?
People realizing that we are love, and people realizing that it's up to us to bring love.
Love it. Morning person or night owl?
I can do both.
Really?
Yeah, I can do both. And I wake up ready to go. I'm really blessed. So I don't get jet lag. I mean, I'm tired, but I don't get jet lag. I can do
Really?
both.
I'm impressed and a little jealous. So, if you could go back and give your 18-year-old self a single piece of advice, what would
Ooh.
that be?
18 was a tough year. 18 was, I was disowned in New York on my own.
Oh my.
That I am, oh, I'm getting emotional, that I'm unbelievably proud of you.
Yeah.
Unbelievably proud of you. And just keep going, because you're going to make it. You're going to make it, because you try so hard.
And
Yeah.
look at you now.
Yeah.
All right. What is one question that you wish I had asked you during our chat, and how would you have answered it?
I don't think that I have a wish, but when you pop that into my head, my thought would be, how could I best serve you and your listeners? Like, is there one thing that they're needing or that they're wanting?
Okay. And the 10th and final question, which is the same all the time. How can my listeners connect with you?
That's an easy one. So that one I know the answer right away. So my website is Dr. Heather Brown. So www.drheatherbrowne.com. And if you go there, it's got all my social media links. So it's got my TikToks and my YouTubes, my blog. There's a freebie on self-love there. So anybody who would like, you can get a really lovely, lovely piece of literature that I've written on self-love and self-care. I've got a newsletter, of course. I offer monthly workshops, and all the information for working with me, either in coaching or in therapy, is on there as well. So I'd love to have you come, or if there's questions that you have, you can reach me. All my information is on my website, so you can reach me, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Dr. Heather, for this amazing conversation. I love, love, love the connection is the number one most important thing over communication before communication can happen. I love that a lot.
I'm so glad.
Guys, Dr. Heather's all her contact info, some key takeaways is going to be in the show notes. As always, Dr. Heather, I thank you so much for giving me a part of your day. I appreciate you so much. And I know my listeners are going to get a lot of value out of our little chat. So
I'm so
thank
glad.
you.
Thank you for having me. It's just an honor to be considered someone that could bring in and offer something for you and your listeners. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, she did. Guys, again, Dr. Heather's info is going to be in the show notes when the episode airs. And don't forget to visit my website at www.thecandidshop, candid with a K.com. Check out some episodes, subscribe, share the show, please. And make sure you're following me on Facebook and IG at The Candid Shop Podcast. So until next time, everybody out there listening, I want you to keep it safe, keep it healthy, and keep it candid.